the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to St. Stephen's Online Church. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever your background, we're really pleased that you're here to worship with us. Today, in this time of worship, you'll hear the prayers and the message are all focused on faith formation that we may have experienced or been blessed to help grow in others. And it's all based around the parable of the mustard seed, one of my favorites. So let's begin together by joining in the opening prayer. God of small seeds and mighty plants, you take our meager lives and with your love cause them to produce acts of loving kindness for you in this world. You hear our cries and find us when we are lost and wandering in fear. You bring us home with you so that we may be made whole, rejoicing in your goodness. Help us to joyfully serve you all our days, knowing that you are always watching over us. Prepare our hearts to receive your word and our spirits to respond in eagerness to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a candle at home for worship, please join me as I light the Christ candle. Jesus came into this world to show us the way back to God through his holy light. There is a time of silence during today's prayer of confession in which you can offer up your own gratitudes. So would you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, we remember with gratitude those people who generously sowed the seeds of faith in our lives. Above all, we recognize how you have blessed our lives with the gift of the Holy Spirit so that our faith has miraculously and mysteriously grown. We confess the times we fail to involve ourselves in planting any seeds of faith in the lives of others, the times when our personal agendas become more important than yours, and the times when our lives become so entangled with the values of the world that we forget what you have said and done and promised. Lord Jesus Christ, we know that when we become disconnected from you, our lives become parched and unfruitful, and our faith becomes stunted and dry. Bless and renew us, we pray, so that we remain connected to you at all times and in all places, and bear the fruit of your mercy, your love, your undying life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, God has heard our prayer of confession. And in Christ, God has taken us by the hand, forgiven our sins, and lifted us to new life. The very good news is that we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is the book of Mark, chapter 4. verses 26 to 34. Jesus is still in Galilee, having some success and still having some opposition. He said, "The kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed on the land. He goes to bed at night and gets up in the morning, and the seed sprouts and grows. How, he does not know. The ground produces a crop by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then full-grown corn in the ear. But as soon as the crop is ripe, he plies his sickle, because harvest time has come." He said also, "How shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we describe it? It is like the mustard seed, which is smaller than any seed in the ground at its growing. But once grown, it springs up and grows taller than any other plant and forms branches so large that birds can settle in its shade. With many such parables, he would give them his message. So far as they were able to receive it, he never spoke to them except in parables. But privately, to his disciples, he explained everything." This is the word of God.
When we began this new church year in Advent, we began a more directed focus on the Gospel writer's Mark's story of Jesus' life. At the time, we talked about how the Gospel of Mark is a quick-paced retelling. Mark could never be accused of dilly-dallying. As we come to our scripture reading for today, we are particularly aware of this. You'll remember that as we joined Jesus last week, he was in a time of rather intense ministry when he was doing a lot of healing. Now, this week, we pick up just a chapter later, but the focus of his energy seems to have changed, and now the emphasis is on teaching. Well, as a person who has some interest in teaching, I love to imagine what it would have been like to sit and listen to Jesus teach. It must have been incredible. By all accounts, he was a remarkable teacher. And as we've heard today, he showed a masterful grasp on the ability to take a story and use it to teach a point. His stories, his long parables, like the parable of the sower that comes just before our reading today, and that famous parable of the prodigal son, they are phenomenal, phenomenal examples of using stories to teach. However, his briefer parables, like the two we have just heard, are equally as amazing in their own right. Short, simple stories, using vignettes from everyday life to help us deepen our understanding of God and God's ways. Ask anyone who has spent any amount of time trying to communicate something with words, whether it's a written word or a spoken word, and they will tell you that in some ways it is more difficult to communicate things effectively when you have to do it briefly. More difficult than it is to do when there's no limit on the amount you can say. Which is why I stand as much in awe of Jesus' brief parables as I do of those longer ones, especially because his topic, the kingdom of God, is anything but easy to try to communicate. Now, both of our parables clearly begin with Jesus explaining that they are illustrations of what God's kingdom is like. The first, the parable of the growing seed, describes a man scattering seed and the miracle of how those seeds grow into a plant that grows and grows until it produces a fruitful harvest. In that simple illustration, Jesus is showing us something of the essence of God's kingdom. Well, he goes on to reinforce and deepen the lesson with a second similar story, the parable of the mustard seed. And in this one, he says that the kingdom is like a tiny little mustard seed that grows into a surprisingly large plant. You can see what I mean about brief, can't you? In both of these stories, Jesus is just using simple, ordinary things as a way to show people something about life the way God has designed it to be. Life as it is and will be in the kingdom of God. Now, I think it can be argued that virtually all of Jesus' teaching was about the kingdom and kingdom life. However, as central as the kingdom is in these stories of Jesus, and even in the overall biblical story of God in the world, it was a concept that remained somewhat elusive for Jesus' first followers. I think it's safe to say it still is for us today. We know that by definition, the kingdom of God is the term that we use to describe God's realm. Quite simply, any place where God reigns in goodness and love, and where we are drawn by God to live in those same ways of goodness and love ourselves. That's the kingdom. Now, in reality, figuring out what the kingdom looks like in practical terms, as it's actually lived out, is often anything but clear to us. We get kind of glimpses of it, but then it fades. And so we do pray. We pray regularly and we pray faithfully. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because we do long for God's kingdom to come in a big way here on earth. And we know and we trust that when it does, it will be a very good thing, because it means that all that is still so wrong in this world will finally be put right. But for now, we still only get glimpses of it. And because of that, the kingdom can be a bit tricky to recognize. So that's why parables of Jesus are so important for us to listen to over and over again. They're the tools that Jesus has given us to help us to deepen our understanding of God's kingdom and of the life we will discover when we find ourselves living in the midst of it. So, two thoughts come to mind. First, how do we know when God's kingdom is shimmering into being around us? And second, is there anything that we can or should be doing to help bring God's kingdom into being? Well, let's tackle the second question first. What can we do? Is there anything we can do to help to bring the kingdom? Our parables from today are helpful here. Both of them speak of seeds that are planted somehow. In the first parable, Jesus actually says there's a man who plants the seed. In the second, there isn't that character. It's just implied that someone has planted that mustard seed. But in both of them, something is planted. And Jesus seems to be saying that that something is actually the kingdom. We've heard him say, "What is the kingdom of God like?" It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth, and yet when planted, it grows. So what can we do? We can scatter seeds. Scatter the seeds of our kingdom ways of living. The ways that Jesus has shown us, that we've seen him model in his life. Ways like love, humility, goodness and kindness, mercy and grace, all of those good things. And ways like peace and reconciliation and justice. All of the things that the Bible shows us so clearly are close to God's heart, and so reflective of who and how God is. Remember, since the earliest days of the people of Israel, God has called his people to let our lives be living examples of life being lived God's way, that kingdom way. In fact, just before this reading, Jesus talked about the importance of putting a lamp on a stand so that it can shine the light that it was built to give out to the area around it. He's trying to say that our lives are meant to be like that light. They're meant to shine the light and the life that we have found by following Jesus. And when they do, kingdom seeds are planted so that they can grow in this world. Now, it is important for us to note that our parables also clearly show that how those seeds actually grow is a mystery. Yes, someone does plant them, but both parables speak of the wonder and the mystery of how those seeds become something that is so much more. Well, the kingdom is the same. We can and we should scatter seeds of the kingdom with our lives. But it is God who will make those seeds grow into something that is fruitful and life-giving. Remember Paul's wise words to the Corinthians as he was reflecting on how the growth had happened in their community. He wrote to them and he said, "Yes, I planted the seed, and Apollos watered it, but it is God who has made it grow." We do plant seeds, but we cannot ever slip into thinking that we are solely responsible for bringing God's kingdom into being. That is a work of incredible grace and mystery, one that we are both called and blessed to contribute to, but one which is ultimately brought about by God. Which brings me to that other question that I put before us. How do we know when that mysterious work is happening? How do we know when the kingdom is shimmering into being around us? Remember, God's vision is to bring all that he has created back together, to live together as part of a completely reconciled, vibrant community, where we live in loving relationships with each other and with God and with the rest of a renewed creation. Pay attention to some key words from that vision. Community. Reconciliation. Renewal. These are the things that God is pursuing. And so as we seek the kingdom of God, they're the kinds of things we are wise to pursue as well. And when we have the sense that things are moving in those directions, towards deeper connections, towards reconciled and renewed relationships, towards healing, healing for all that has been broken and damaged, when we see movement towards those things, then we can say that we may very well be seeing the kingdom of God coming near to us, even today. Amen.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be able to pray with you this morning. As the body of Christ here in Qualicum Beach. As Christians, we believe in one God, a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me, please, to our triune God? Father God, we praise you. Thank you for this creation you've blessed us with. It is magnificent. Thank you for loving us without reservation. Thank you for sustaining us during our COVID days, weeks, and months. Father, we pray for peace and reconciliation. Move us away from wanting to be right and into wanting to be in relationship. Thank you for the fragile cessation of war and destruction in Israel, the West Bank, and Gaza. We pray for all those killed or injured, both physically and mentally, by this senseless brutality. Bring leaders from all sides who truly want peace in this region. Give them discerning hearts. Father, we pray for our First Nations brothers and sisters as they begin to deal with the recent findings of the lost children. How can we make sense of this? Give us hearts to embrace the suffering for the communities who have lost children and have never known where they have gone, where they died, where they may be buried. Jesus, you are the great teacher. You taught love and showed us grace. Continue to teach us your ways and help us absorb you into our lives. Help us to see the strength of the tiny mustard seed and to become that growing, strong person you love so much. Teach us how we can expand the kingdom in your name. Jesus, we give thanks for this community, for the outreach to the friends who arrive for community meals, for all who contribute to showing your love. Bless our minister, Diane, and all the staff who support ministry here at St. Stephen's. Thank you for second vaccines and the chance to stop the variants in their tracks. Holy Spirit, embolden us as you did that first day of Pentecost. Show us the where, the how, and the when. Move in us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We are in such need of guidance and reassurance. We ask you, Spirit, to provide discerning hearts among our leaders locally, nationally, and internationally. Holy Spirit, we ask that you nurture all those who are sick or grieving. Continue to open our hearts to the suffering and needs of others, and help us to discern what we can do to reach out to the suffering. Please mention those on your hearts now. We ask these things in the name of the one God. Would you please join me in saying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you again for your faithful giving this week. Will you join me now in praying to dedicate our gifts to God? Gracious God, we give you thanks for all of your gifts to us. We know that you are the source of every good thing and that you continue to breathe life into us through the gift and power of your Holy Spirit. In our gratitude, we bring our gifts this week and dedicate them to the work of your kingdom here on earth. Guide those who steward these gifts to use them wisely and in ways that make your love known. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, our hearts are hurting right now with the news that came out of Kamloops of the remains of those 215 children that have been detected near the residential school. If you received our emailed announcements this week, you will have already heard that Chief Michael Rakama has extended a welcome for us to join with them at the Qualicum First Nation in creating a memorial for those children at the fence that runs outside the Qualicum First Nation campground at Qualicum Bay. If you are moved to do so, you are welcome to bring up a pair of shoes to the fence and tie them on, and please say a prayer as you do. In welcoming our contributions to this memorial, Chief Rakama has embodied incredible grace in a very difficult time, and I am so very grateful for him doing that. Please keep all of the people whose lives have been affected by the residential schools in your prayers in the coming weeks as they go through this time where they are remembering again and facing again the pain and the trauma that they experienced. Keep our neighbors in your prayers. I also want to ask you to join me now in praying for Barb McDonald and for her family. We heard news from her daughter that Barb passed away a couple of weeks ago, and many of you will remember Barb. She was an active member of this congregation, and I particularly enjoyed being able to work with her as a supporter of ministry to young people. She had a real heart for our teens. We did hear from her daughter that she passed away, and so I wonder if you would join me now, please, for just a moment of prayer. God, we thank you for Barb and for her life and for all in it that was good and loving and energetic and true. We thank you especially for the ministry she shared so freely here amongst us in so many ways, and for all the blessings that have come as a result of that. We pray now for her family, especially for her daughters, Elaine and Kathy, as they get used to life without Mom being around. We ask God that you would provide them peace and the blessing of comfort as they mourn, that you would be close to them, and that they would have such a deep assurance of the hope that Barb had in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, may the peace of Jesus Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storms. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.
Dreams, laid them deep until the earth behind us said our goodbyes at the grave, but everything reminds us God knows we ache when he asks us to go on. How do we go on? We will sing to our souls. We won't bury our hope where he leads us to go. threatens to take over us. Well, this desert's dry, but the ocean may consume, and we're scared to follow you. Sing to our souls, we won't bury our hope. Where he leads us to go, there's a Red Sea road. When we can't see the way, he will part the waves, and we'll never walk alone down the Red Sea road. Oh, help us believe you are faithful, you're faithful. When our hearts are breaking, you are faithful.
Down the road.